Aids to Devotion by Andrew Murray, Chapter 15, The Sword of the Spirit. Ephesians Chapter 6, Verse 17, And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul begins the last section of the epistle with the words in Chapter 6, Verse 10, Finally, be strengthened in the Lord, and in the strength of his power. What he had written in chapter 1, verse 19, about the incomparable greatness of his power toward us who believe, which is nothing less than the resurrection power by which Christ was lifted to the throne, and again in chapter 3, verse 16, of our being strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner person. He meant in very deed to be the experience of these believers. They are to prove in their lives that all that has been said about God's power to show itself in his church is a divine reality. The Spirit is the mighty power of God. The Spirit-filled Christian is to be strong for God's service and the wars of his kingdom. He tells them in chapter 6, verse 12, that they are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and warns them that nothing less will do than to live every day with the full armour of God on them, standing strong in Christ and in the strength of his might. The believer has not only to meet the single evil spirits that tempt him, but is to regard himself as one of the host whom Christ leads to warfare against the kingdom of darkness in all its forms to win the world back for its King and Lord. In the work of the church, the victory of the cross over the power of Satan is to be carried out in that same power in which Christ triumphed over the grave. When Paul says, "Clothe yourselves with the full armour of God," he begins by speaking of the various parts of defensive armour. The Christian, first of all, needs to see that at every point of his whole being he is personally safe in the protection of his Lord. Only then is he fit for acting on the offensive. Paul mentions only one weapon of attack, the sword. And that sword is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. To know its power and how to use it effectually, we have but to look to our leader, the captain of the Lord's host. When Jesus Christ met Satan in the wilderness, he conquered him by the word of God alone. As man, he had studied that word. He had loved it. He had obeyed it. He had lived in it. The Holy Spirit, through whom he was driven to the wilderness, found in him the familiar words with which he could meet and conquer every satanic suggestion. To take the sword of the Spirit in the hour of battle means that I have lived in that word and had it abiding in me, that I have lived it out and so given it the mastery of my whole being, that the Spirit of Christ within me can enable me in the power of faith to cast out Satan by it. It is the man who yields up his whole being to the word, who lives, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, by every word that comes from the mouth of God, who will be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Whether in the struggle with unfaithfulness and worldliness, with open sin or secret iniquity, with feeble, hopeless Christians, with dark superstition or nominal Christianity, or a backsliding church, or still darker heathenism, the Word of God will always and everywhere be the weapon of victory to those who know how to use it correctly. Who knows how to use it correctly? We learn what that means from the vision of John in Patmos, when he saw one like the Son of Man, and, Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, from his mouth extends a sharp sword, and afterwards heard him speak, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12, "This is the solemn pronouncement of the one who has the sharp, double-edged sword," and Revelation chapter 2, verse 16, "Therefore repent. If not, I will come against you quickly and make war against those people with the sword of my mouth." It is when Christ has been revealed to us, calling us to repent of every sin and above all of the sin of our unbelief, and has warred against us and the evil in us with the sword of his mouth, that the power of the word will be revealed in us, and we shall be strong to wield it as the sword of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even to the point of dividing soul from spirit, showing on the one hand all that is soulish or natural, and that which is spiritual and divine, and joints from marrow. It is able to judge the desires and thoughts of the heart, discovering our most secret intentions and inclinations in the light of God and His holiness. It is the branch that has thus been cleansed through the word that will bear much fruit. The soul that has fully yielded itself to the sword of his mouth will have faith and strength to wield it against every enemy." Every believer is meant to be a soldier in Christ's army. The spiritual powers of darkness are to be met and overcome by all who have learned that they have not been saved for their own sakes alone, that they are not to live to themselves, but wholly for him who bought them. From heaven he leads them as his conquering hosts to rout the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Alas that there are so many Christians who have never understood their calling and have never yet given their lives unreservedly for the one object of securing the triumph of our Redeemer in the world. Let us listen to the summons that calls us to the war. Let us confess and repent that we have so little stood in the strength of the Lord and in the power of his might, with our armour on day and night. Let our ears be opened to the calls that come from every church for men and women who will yield themselves to Christ for his service, whether in the home or the foreign field. Let us remember that it is first of all in our own life that we are to prove the power that God's word has with himself in prayer and intercession, and with ourselves in surrender and cleansing. It is there we learn to use it. It is there the love to our Lord and the love to our souls will rouse us to the war. It is there that the word of God will in very deed become the sword of the Spirit, that we ever carry girded on our thigh, ready to meet the enemy and to deliver his captives. How helpless is the church of our day, with its 20,000 missionaries, to meet the needs of 1,000 million heathen and Mohammedans! And how strong it might be if every believer were to be trained to yield himself to the sharp two-edged sword proceeding out of the mouth of the Son of Man, and when it has done its work in himself, to grasp it, and with it carry deliverance to those who are dying in such sore bondage. God forgive us that our devotions have so often been the vain attempt to find nourishment or joy in the word of God. We failed because our first thought was the selfish one of seeking comfort or holiness for ourselves. Let us repent and learn that a Christian, in seeking salvation, is to be brought to Christ so that Christ may use him as a member of his body for the welfare of the whole, even of those too who have not yet been gathered into it. And let our devotions henceforth bear these two simple marks: entire surrender to the word of God as the two-edged sword dividing soul and spirit, and surrender to wield that two-edged sword in the faith of the power of God's Holy Spirit against every enemy of Christ and his kingdom. What light and blessing can then come to our hours of devotion!